Good morning. I'm going to be reading the scripture this morning. It's from Romans, book of Romans, 5, 1 through 11, peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Thank you. While she's getting settled, a couple of announcements. Just to remind you of your per capita, $27.85 per member. They're asking if they can have a women's association briefly in the library. I think it's my concern, the luncheon for the Muriel family. And I just want to take a moment to thank everyone. You know that my beloved dog Xenon died on Valentine's Day, and I started taking items out to the shelter, bed, wash and take it, and took food, took some toys. I made a mistake of going through and looking. So, I have a 7-month-old puppy. So, I'm really happy. We're getting along. He's just a really sweet little fellow. But he needs some training. He didn't really get training. I walked out of the room for a few minutes last night, and he ate through the cord on my throat blanket. So, it's like having a baby. So, we're going to get along good. And I thank you for all your prayers. Thank you. If you're a dog lover, you understand what it means. And as she was reading, you may have noticed a couple of different words where it says boast. In my version, it says rejoice. The NIV has come out with a newer version. That's why it said people instead of men. So a little bit discrepancy there. I was using the old one, and she was reading from the newer one. One cold, rainy morning, a teenager awakened on the farm and walked out to the back and went to the barn where she kept her favorite pet, her mule, an old ugly mule. The mule was standing outside in the rain as the drops of water were coming down his nose. The mule seemed discouraged and seemed depressed. She looked at her favorite friend and said, "You know, Betsy, you would make a wonderful Christian. Because you look like so many Christians I know. You look like you've lost your best and last friend. You look like the world is coming to an end." How many people here today can remember that song that you may have sang in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or maybe on a camping trip when you were youngsters? I believe it goes something like, "I have the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart." And then the song leader would shout, "Where?" And then you would shout out, "Down in my heart to stay." If you had those moments in your spiritual journey when for whatever reason you didn't feel like you had an ounce of joy, you just felt so sad and depressed, everything in your heart. If you had those moments when joy has been lacking in your heart and you're unable to rejoice about the good things that are going on in your life. And you ever wondered how the Apostle Paul could have joy deep down in his heart when he was in prison for his faith? It'd be a hard thing to do. But yet he writes to his fellow Christians from the Philippian jail cell where he was being, as Christians were supposed to rejoice in the Lord regardless of whatever state of being they found themselves in at that time or any difficult circumstances that they happened to be going through. How could John the Baptist once again have joy in his heart when he knew the importance of the salvation dream and drama that God was unfolding was decreasing rather than increasing and his place was going down? How could he say the joy of mine is now full when he knew that he would soon die? How could he do that? Aren't Christians supposed to have joy in their lives? Aren't we the unique people of the earth who claim they found the secret and the source of unending joy? At Christmas, we sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. And how often in our worship services, not just ours, but churches around the world, begin with that great hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, one of my favorites. Many hymnals have responsive reading based on Psalm 118 that I use and talks about, let us rejoice and be glad. In Nehemiah 8, we find God instructing the leaders of Israel that it's okay to be joyous and festive in our celebration and our praise of God. I remember Irma Bombeck, many of you remember her and her sense of humor, once sharing a story about a mother and father who sat with a three-year-old in church one day on Sunday morning, and the small child was quietly walking up and down the pews. You know, it happens. Grinning and smiling at the people behind. And the father was very solemn, and he grabs the child and tells him to stop smiling. You stop smiling and you stop having fun. Don't you realize we're in church? Someone in Reader's Digest says, I'm going to be happy and joyful even if it kills me. You know, a source of our joy is to be God-centered rather than circumstance-centered. And it's hard for us, even as Christians, even as real Bible-believing good people sometimes, to get that in our heads. One of the most gifted Christian writers is Max Lucado out of San Antonio, Texas. Mac tells about meeting a gentleman called Robert Reed. Robert's hands are twisted. His feet are useless. He can't bathe himself. He can't feed himself. He can't brush his teeth, comb his hair, or put on his underwear. His shirts are held together by strips of Velcro, and his speech drags out like a worn-out old audio cassette. Robert has cerebral palsy. Many of you know someone that does. I was on the phone last night with a man whose wife has it. And Max shares, he said, I heard Robert Reed declare, I have everything I need for joy. The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, or even just going for a walk. But it didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending Abilene Christian College, from which he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching at St. Louis Junior College or venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. And Robert's disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary to Portugal. He moved to Lisbon alone in 1972 alone. Then he rented a hotel room and began to study Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him and after the rush hour, and someone who would instruct him and help him learn the language. Max says, I heard Robert speak recently and I watched other men carrying him in his wheelchair to the platform. I watched him lay a Bible in his lap and I watched his fingers as he tried to open that Bible. And I watched the people in the audience wipe away tears of admiration on their faces for him. Robert could have asked for sympathy or pity, but he did just the opposite. He held his bent hand up in the air and boasted, I have everything I need for joy. His shirts are held together by Velcro. but his life is held together by joy and a relationship with Jesus Christ. The real story demonstrates that the source of joy depends on your orientation to life. It has nothing to do with the events of your life, but rather the deep orientation of your life and your relationships. Joy is a gift that comes when a life is centered on God. When you center on yourself, you don't have that real joy. People like Robert Reed teach us that joy is always only one decision away for us to make that conscious decision, I will have joy in my life, I will rejoice. Joy is to believe deeply in Christ. The first Christians preached and believed that Jesus was the one who came from God to lead men and women to the experience of true joy and salvation. This is why the angels sang in his birth. This is why Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. But we often get confused about many things in life and sometimes don't understand, especially if we're going through a difficult circumstance. I heard the other day about an executive who was given a prime gift for his birthday. True, he was given a penguin. He decided just to accept it in the spirit which it was given, and so he called one of his employees and said, will you please take this penguin to the zoo? The employee never returned back to work that day. Before cell phones, so he couldn't get in touch with him. And that night, the young man appeared back at the executive's home with the penguin. Exasperated, the business executive said, I thought I told you to take the animal to the zoo. Take this penguin to the zoo. He said, well, you know what? I did. And he enjoyed the zoo so much that I decided to take him to the museum tomorrow. There are a lot of things that we're confused about in our day-to-day experience of living this life. Because it can be tough and it can at times get us down, beat us down. But there's one thing we must never become confused about. Jesus Christ and a relationship with him is the key to life. It is the key to joy, and it can be found, real joy, in no other way. Everything in life is a poor substitute for a relationship with an almighty God. Life without Christ is no life at all. It is a pulse without purpose, heart without happiness, existence without eternity, life without living. With Christ, we have purpose to live, power to live by, and a person to live with. Jesus not only saves us from our sins, he also saves us for a life of purpose and power in the presence of God. And he gives us, I believe, unending joy. When Jesus Christ enters into our lives as Lord and Savior, he impacts a deep inner strength that will continue to help us and lead us and guide us and give us a sense of joy on this journey through life until our end upon this earth comes. St. Paul and millions of Christians have discovered that the joyful vitality of life is found in a daily appreciation and thankfulness for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. That's why a couple of years ago I started, before I even get out of bed, repeat, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I try to set that tone for my morning. If we aren't filled with joy, we will soon, I think, be filled with a sense of bitterness. The secret of joy is to simply open our lives to Christ and allow the joy that God wants to give us to flow in. So I ask you, do you want joy? If you do, you must begin with God. It's that simple. Is God preeminent in your life? Is God the motivating factor of your life? The first priority in life is to worship our God. The worship of God is directly related to the freedom to be obedient to God. His will becomes the ruling principle of life, and God's will becomes the dominating passion of our lives. And living in God's will bring us life, and it will bring us a sense of joy. Joy is the echo of God's life within us. Joy is the form of energy which helps us to live above the circumstances and troubles and sorrows and travails of this life that we all have at different times in our lives. Joy is the celebration of life which doesn't center in or focus on what we might lose, but centers and focuses on what we have. Joy is a power that makes us strong on the inside, and it'll show on the outside. We find joy as we journey through life, looking at life through God's eyes. And God grants us the gift of joy to people who truly seek Him and come to know Him. A recent evening news program told a story of a man and his crew who were on a treasure hunt to locate a ship in the Atlantic Ocean that had gone down in the 16th century with a load shipment of gold. You know, today the hunts are done with sophisticated sonar equipment that helps save valuable time to locate it. The head of the expedition told how they located the boat in various pieces, but they could not find the large pot of gold, if you will, that they were looking for. The sophisticated equipment was of little help to them. They went back for the night to rest and said that they would try one more time in the morning. About noon the next day, one of the divers located the buried treasure. Parts of the coating of the treasure box were stripped by years of pressure on that ocean floor and the waves coming back and forth. And then, and only then, were they able to find the real treasure, the mother lode that they were looking for. I think how true that is in life for us. Our real inner beauty of joy is really only discovered when life places its pressures upon us and attempts to rob us of the joy that we have. When the storms of life are raging, joy is far more valuable than anything else you can have in life. Money, homes, whatever it might be, joy. True joy is only discovered by the richness in a relationship in the faith with Jesus Christ that He imparts to those who have that relationship with Him. Perhaps St. Francis of Assisi said it best. Let us leave sadness to the devil and his angels. As for Christians, what can we be but rejoicing and glad? Like John the Baptist, for our joy to be complete and full, we must decrease in our lives and turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. Like Paul, we can declare, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I ask you this morning, if you've not done it, will you make this passion, will you make it the principle of your life to have Jesus and place Him first in your life that you can find that real, true, unending joy? Will you make your decisions based on this radical approach to life? Will your orientation to life be filled with God and God's purpose, that you can have that joy and that you can truly rejoice? If you do and you can, you will discover the secrets of joy that I believe are complete and unending. Be God-centered. Rejoice more deeply in Jesus Christ. Commit every aspect of your life to God's unfailing grace. Do this and you will have joy, joy, joy down in your heart. And you will find a way to rejoice regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in today or maybe somewhere down the road. May God bless you. Amen.